God. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. You have your Bible. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 50 for just a little while today. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's going to start out with God speaking. All of Scripture starts out with God speaking. Amen. And it won't take a reading glasses that you're willing to give up and sacrifice. There's a lady going to make the sacrifice. My wife wants to see the Scripture. These are tri-level glasses. They're made for big eyes like hers. Readers, all right. Let's see how strong they are, young lady. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 50. It begins with the mighty God speaking to his people, Israel. He's going to talk to them about their worship. He's going to talk to them about their need for deliverance and what it's going to take to get God to show up at church again. Amen? How many would like to see God show up when you come to church? We discussed that at our pastor's breakfast. I kind of gave the challenge myself and in our last breakfast and saying, you know, if God didn't show up, if God did not even show up at our service, have we got it so planned, programmed, produced, that it can go off without a hitch and we don't even miss the fact that God didn't show up? If someone really gets saved, really gets born again, God has shown up. If someone gets delivered and set free, God has shown up. If a demon is cast out of some poor soul that is hopelessly bound by an evil spirit, God has showed up. If a body has been supernaturally healed, God has shown up. If people lose sight of their self and begin to worship God in spirit and truth, God has showed up. If the preacher forgets about all the protocol and the decorum, amen, and he just preaches under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit without respect of persons, with the authority that God has given, God has showed up. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm accustomed to God showing up. Amen? I got spoiled when I got saved. I went to a church where God showed up. And then he showed out. Hallelujah. Praise God. It wasn't nothing for the service to get over at 10:30 and us to walk outside by 5:74 in that where I rededicated my life. And we'd walk outside and start talking about Jesus. And there'd be about maybe 20 of us standing outside under the stars in the front yard of the church. And the Spirit of God fall on us again. And people begin to worship God, and some people were slain in the spirit in the grass. I remember one lady went down in the grass one night. Hallelujah. Because God just was there. And as long as we had a heart for him, he was going to manifest himself to us. When we're so good at it, we don't need him. Oh, yeah, we talk about it. We preach about it. We even sing about it. There was one of the righteous brothers just died recently, and he was in a hotel waiting to do a show. I think it was the young blonde-haired guy that made up this group, and I just got Pamela Valentine's card. I didn't even go to the Valentine's rack, but, you know, with fat babies with wings because they don't represent angels anyway. So, amen, I just... And they're so fat from eating all that Valentine's candy. But anyway, amen. And they never grew up, did they? They stayed babies. But I went over and found one where you open it up, and it was a Righteous Brothers song. Took us back to, I don't mean righteous, righteous. It's just their name. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. But they sung that beautiful song, Unchained Melody, when you open it up. And that's a beautiful song. I try to sing it, but I'd ruin it. And it's too pretty for me to ruin, Brother Taylor. Amen. Oh, you know. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you got me one like that. But I went over and found it just in the love section. Yeah, in the love section. And because I just wanted to, Valentine's Day, to express love, and it don't have to have a heart on it as long as it says it in the right way. But this one man, he passed away, and I think this last year, not too awful long ago, one of those singers passed away in a hotel room. He just passed away, and his life came to an end. But there was a man who played in the band, the backup band for the Righteous Brothers. I forget his name. But he was witnessed to by a Christian. He came to know Christ on the road traveling with the Righteous Brothers as part of the backup band that did their music. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. He couldn't wait for the tour to get over and all of their appointments to be kept so he could get in church and express his newfound joyous love for the Lord and faith in Jesus Christ. He read the Bible on the road. But when the tour was over, he got in a local church and he went in and he sat down and he's sitting there and he's never been to church before, but he's already come to Jesus. And they're singing these victorious songs and it's upbeat and it seems so powerful so the singing is over. The preaching is now presented, and it's well-timed and three-point sermon and appropriate, and it's almost over. They're making the closing. And he nudges the lady beside of him. He said, "When do we see the stuff?" See, he hadn't been to church yet. He's just been reading the Bible. So he had expectations. When people come together in the name of Jesus and God shows up. Can you say amen? For two or more gathered in my name, where's he supposed to be? He's here in the midst of us? Wow. That's... I am here to save. Here to deliver. I am here to set free. I am here to heal. I am here to help. I am here to lift you up. I am here to revive you. I am here to refresh you. I am here to restore you. I am here, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Does it matter? We're so entertained. Does it matter? He said, "When do we do?" He punched her and he said, "When do we do the stuff?" She looked at him and said, "What stuff?" He said, "You know, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead." And she said, "We don't do that here. We just sing about it." Pretty honest response to a legitimate question. Can you say, man, when do we do the stuff? When do we do the stuff? We got our buildings now. Pentecostalism has come a long way till we don't even call ourselves Pentecostal hardly. Now we're charismatics. Can you say, man? We've got buildings now that rival anyone's buildings. We're not across the tracks anymore. We're uptown. Can you say, man? We got huge congregations now. Amen. We got choirs that sing wonderfully. We got praise teams that are enthusiastic and we've got people, and there's nothing wrong with this in and of itself. Don't get me wrong. We got people with banners that come down the aisle to try to loosen people up and get them, you know, and we got dancers with an interpretive dance that while the song is singing, they're dancing. But you know, you pan that audience sometime. Pan the audience. What is the audience doing? The audience is doing what audiences are good at. That's really nice. I like that. This is really wonderful. That's good. Amen. I remember turning across the dial one time with the mute button on, looking for something to watch on television. I was looking for something inspirational. And I saw, looked like somebody up giving a rousing testimony. Hadn't pressed the mute button yet. Rousing testimony. Looked like was given. And I saw all these people in the audience. The testimony must have hit a high point because they all stood up in unison without anybody asking them to and began to clap their hands and cheer. And I thought, boy, that's a good meeting. I'm going to hear what's going on. And I let the mute button off, and it was an Amway convention. And I thought, they are more enthusiastic in that audience in an Amway convention than they are in a Pentecostal church putting on the big show. They're not participating out there. And then there was one about some kind of vitamin. What is it? What is it? Oh, it's somebody's vitamin outfit. Somebody had lost 152 pounds. And they were sharing that they had lost 152 pounds. And when they and boy, everybody in the audience got enthused about what this product had done for them. See, the Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice. Amen. And so they just came alive out there. And then on another occasion, right after Princess Di, I think, had passed away, Elton John wrote a song called "A Candle in the Wind," and he sung it in Australia to tens of thousands of people, and without anybody cueing them, everybody that had a lighter, one of those lighters. Amen. While he sung that anthem to Marilyn Monroe and her untimely death, amen. They took out their lighters in the dark and began to go like this, begin to wave. Listen, something's taking place. These people are responding and reacting actively, amen, to something that has made them want to express themselves or express their gratitude or their enthusiasm or their excitement. How can we come to church as Christians who've been washed in the blood of Jesus, who God loved us enough to give His Son, and Christ loved us enough to give His life, and the songs of Zion began to be sung. And both pastor and everyone in the pew is satisfied to have the production go off smoothly, silkenly smooth, and timed perfectly, so that no one has the opportunity to get antsy or bored before the whole thing is done and over. This man that wrote The Heart of Worship said, we're good at it. That's the problem. We're good at it. We're so good at it, we're not even looking toward heaven. Our hearts are not even turned toward Him. We're singing to an audience who is listening to us sing. They do that at Nashville and Las Vegas. Can you say amen? The church is supposed to be different, because God is looking upon our hearts. And we need to come back to a heart of worship. And we need to begin with a heart for worship. You've got to have a heart for worship. You know what worship means? It's an old English word that we have brought into our language as worship, but it began as worth-ship. It's how we express the worth of someone or something. And in many circles, Jesus obviously doesn't have a whole lot of worth. Can you say amen? Because no one is truly moved. I've seen people get moved by, they had on the internet, they had a recently up in Alaska, the economics are bad. My wife hates to hear this, but the economics are bad. And so they have this Alaskan adventure in Alaska that they had to shut down, where you go as a tourist and they take your dog sledding. And they have 100 dedicated sled dogs that pull them sleds and pull them people on it through the snow. And it went bankrupt, and the owner told the manager to go get some ammunition from the hardware store and shoot 100 beautiful sled dogs. And he was inexperienced. He wasn't even a hunter. So he went and got his gun. He began to shoot the dogs, and he's shooting the dogs, and one dog named Phoebe, he shot in the head, and it just tore her eye out, but it didn't kill her. He had to chase her down and finish her off. And I mean, you can imagine. And you know what? Here we are. This is what I wanted to evoke. Our feelings are being touched deeply, and they should be. Some people almost become teary. My wife can't hardly stand to hear about it. But let me tell you what the church can stand to hear. Let me tell you what we're used to. Start talking about Jesus on the cross. It's a given. We've heard it 100 times. We've heard it 100 times. Nobody else is moved. We don't feel convicted by not being moved. Do something to move us. Have the Holy Spirit come down and jolt us on Sunday morning. But don't just have us focus on Jesus and expect a response, particularly Jesus suffering and Jesus dying. Because we've heard it over and over and over and over and over and over. So entertain us, because the cross doesn't evoke deep feelings of love and appreciation. Amen. If I started immediately talking about Calvary, we wouldn't have had the reaction we just got. Somebody say amen. How do you know? Because I do it every Sunday. And we don't get the reaction we got from Phoebe being wounded before killed. When I saw that, I got a lump in my throat. But you know what I miss? The lump in my throat. Amen. When we start talking about Jesus on the cross, it's almost like that message has lost such import and impact that we are coming up with some kind of new something to stimulate Christians. Because that message, that saving message, the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, amen, it's something entirely different. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And Jesus said, this is the core of the gospel. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to use, amen, to bring people to Jesus Christ. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, everybody say, on the cross. That's where he bridged the gap that sin had created, where he took the hand of God and the hand of man, praise God, and brought us together and made us one and reconciled us to God through his suffering on that cross. Amen. In China, it is driving. I want to tell you, getting a Mercedes is not what's driving the revival in China. You know what's driving that revival? Amen. It's not even getting your body healed. That's not what's driving it. It's not the gifts of the Spirit that is driving the revival in China. It's Jesus and him crucified. Amen. The American church, and the deeper you get into the Bible Belt, where we've heard it over and over and over and over and over and over, the less excitement there is about it. Here, if a little cloud gets in the sky, I don't want to go out today. A little cool weather. Y'all are from West Virginia. Dear Lord, this is not bad, is it? Anybody stayed home today? It's cold out there. Any little thing, any little blip. They didn't have the power of God like we have it in Bangor, Maine years ago, in New England. The old line churches were dead and full of dead men's bones. And I went up there to perform a wedding, and it was cold. Boy, it was cold. It was October, and it was cold. And anyway, I went to Bob Gass's church. Now it's Neil Gass's from there. And anyway, they had a church. It wasn't a mega church, nothing now, but they had 1,500 people. Back when if you had 500, you were doing good. And they had 1,500 people. So I was inquisitive. I said, what happens when the snow gets deep and the sub-zero temperatures? I said, what happens to your, he said, let me show you something. He took me to a room big as this building here. And he said, and there were shelves all along the walls. And he said, this is the room where people put on those galoshes to walk in the snow with. I mean, you just don't wear those high heels in the snow up to your knee. Can you say, man, I know you need it to make your calf look good, but that's what I'm talking about. she cover up my calf and go barefooted. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. Listen, he said, this room is just for those shoes. I said, well, how many do you normally attend here? He said, 1,500. I said, how many come in the dead of winter? He said, 1,500. Wow. What do you do about the tires? And so you put chains on. Back then, you get out and you actually put chains on so that you can drive on the ice. Why are you driving out in the ice and snow? To get to where? To church. To do what? To worship God. Amen. Because it's not old hat. The cross was still stimulated. The first love was kindled. It didn't need to be rekindled. It was already kindled. Church doors open. I'm going to be there. Why? Because you love God. Because you appreciate what Jesus did at the cross. Because you're still moved by it. You haven't got over it. Real revival always begins with the rekindling of the first love. It's not just about seeking power. It's seeking a relationship with Him. Hallelujah. That is bringing you into a devotion. Because when you're devoted, then you develop disciplines. Hallelujah. The discipline of prayer doesn't come by forcing yourself to pray. It comes by loving God enough that you want to be in His presence and talk with Him. Amen. My wife went on vacation. Well, actually, she went to Alabama, and she took my mother-in-law's stuff to her when she moved up there for a season. And so we cell phoned the whole trip. Amen. I didn't have to say, "Wow, man, I was sure enjoying TV today. Oh, man, I was enjoying this, enjoying that." I got to call Pamela. No, I wanted to know where she was and how she's doing. Where are you? Are you okay? Is the car running okay? What are you looking at? Okay, and you know, an hour later, ding, 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 she called me. Hey, what you doing? Well, we talked a long time. But honestly, we were back and forth the whole day of traveling. I didn't know that cell phones, when you go out of a certain area, they go on roam. Yeah. And when they go on roam, ting, 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 ting. Can you say amen? How many dollars? $300. I should have went with her. It'd been cheaper for me to go with her. Can you say amen? $300 cell phone just for the trip up and back to Alabama. Think if she had went to New York. We'd have had to sell something. Can you say amen? Well, why did you want to talk so much? Well, we're still in love. She's my best friend, my confidant. Amen. We're in love. Brother and Sister Taylor, they're in love. Amen. And their big pit bull, Chocolate, they even love the doggy. And he loves them. Praise God. Gets up in the bed, sleeps with them. Yes, he does. Pit bull that long, that tall, big old head like this. Oh, yeah. They race the dog to bed. He gets up there. They can't hardly get in for him. You find your own spot, Chocolate. You got to love him, don't you? Amen. Love makes you do crazy things. Love for the Lord used to make people do crazy things. Like give their whole life to Him. Like sell out to Him. Like put nothing above Him. Praise God. Make a full-blown commitment to Him. Sing songs like "Take This Whole World and Give Me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back." You didn't have to hold. Have you ever seen this? To get an old wore out mule to move, they take a pole and hang a carrot on the end of it. Amen. Because you can't, you know, he just ain't moving, you know. And you hang a carrot out on the end of a fishing pole or a stick, just about that far from the mule's face, and the mule sees a carrot and says, and he's after that carrot. Amen. A lot of Christians are just like that old mule. Don't care nothing about pulling no wagon. Don't care nothing about serving God. Amen. But you put a carrot out in front of something that they can eat, you know, something for the flesh. Amen. And the old mule just, here he comes. Here he's coming. Tell me that I'm going to be richer, amen, than anybody. Tell me that I'm going to live in a mansion. Tell me that I'm going to be the top, the creme de la creme in my company. Amen. There's the carrot. That's the reason I'm pulling this cart. If it wasn't for the carrot, I ain't pulling nothing. Can you say amen? Well, listen, the incentive for serving Jesus is not whether you get rich or whether you don't, but whether you recognize that you're already so rich in Him. There's nothing in this world world that can compare with what we have in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If that message was given to China, they would not be in revival, because they're putting their jobs on the line, their life on the line, amen, their liberty on the line. They are suffering persecution and sacrificing and singing the high praises of God and leading others to Jesus. They had the attitude of the early church that we need so desperately in the 21st century postmodern world church. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for His sake. Amen? And so they were actually taught to count it joy when these persecutions come. The book of James was written to Christians who were having to run and scatter from persecution. And you know what he told them? He told them to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. We're not talking about this lust of the flesh to do wrong. We're talking about temptation. There's another form that temptation takes. And that's when persecutions are so heavy, amen, for the sake of the gospel, that there's a danger of becoming faint-hearted and giving up and giving in and going with the flow or going back. Can you say, man? And that's what he's talking about, because the book of James was written to those who were being dispersed by heavy persecution. And he said, I want you to look at this differently. I want you to see it in a different light. Hallelujah. If you really love Jesus, count it all joy. Jesus said, if all men speak well of you, you have nothing to rejoice about. All your singing is in vain. You really don't have anything to praise God for. But when for my sake and the gospel's sake, amen, when men cast out your name as evil and speak all manner of evil about you for my sake and the gospel's, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Everybody say, act like I just won the lotto. Oh, don't act like you wouldn't act. That you wouldn't act up. Brother Venable, guess what? I'm going to build you a church. I say, Brother Taylor, guess what? I'm glad. You ask the Lord, forgive you for gambling, we'll build that bad boy tomorrow. Can you say amen? Yes. Give it here. See what God can do with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about what's driving true, authentic revival that can't be shut down by suffering or persecution. Amen. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. If they're willing around the world to die for Him, the least we could do in America is live for Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. Let me finish this sermon with Psalm 50. Do you see where we're going? Do you understand how easy it is to get over Calvary? To where it doesn't stimulate devotion. And if it doesn't stimulate devotion, then where are the disciplines going to come from? The discipline of prayer, the discipline of discipleship. Discipleship starts with self-denial, not self-gratification, self-indulgence. Can you say amen? Jesus didn't say, come indulge yourself. He said, come and die. But he also said this, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. Can you say, man? So if you think that this death is going to empty you of life, no, it's going to make room for His life within you. Can you say amen? Whatever you give up and sacrifice for Christ is going to make more room for Him in your heart. And all the things that you think you have to have, when you really have Him where He needs to be in your life, you're going to find out you don't need a lot of the stuff that is keeping you from Him. There are people out of church that have put stuff before Him. And I watch them grappling just like the world for more material things at the expense of their soul. They're empty, unsatisfied. Nothing they ever acquire at the expense of the kingdom of God is going to make them happy. And God can't bless them. They put their money and they make the money. But the Bible said you dwell in your sealed houses. you indulge yourself first before you consider my work at all. You've finished your house and you've contributed nothing to my house. And he said, and guess what? You make good money, but you put it into bags with holes. Can you say, man? Bags, what does that mean? That means that it goes in. Everybody say gravy through a goose. Do you get the picture?
No.
It goes in the bank, one end, and it goes right out of the bank to pay all these things. We never get caught up ever getting, never having enough. And here comes a pastor from Africa riding on a bicycle instead of a Mercedes to visit three churches on Sunday and ride about 20 miles one way and 20 miles back. Praising God with the joy of Jesus. And here's somebody with a Mercedes just hitting missing church. Got a house with more bathrooms and there's people to use them. Amen?
Amen.
Got a living room that nobody can sit in. Because it's the formal living room. It's the one you just look at. Amen. Remember when they get that beautiful fabric on a couch and cover it up with that old ugly, cheap-looking plastic? If you got one of them, please take the plastic off and put up a guardrail so we can at least enjoy the beauty of it. Can you say, man? Nobody wants to sit on your old cold plastic couch. Amen? Chocolate don't want no couch like that. Can you say? Even chocolate won't sit on a couch like that. That's the name of their big pit bull. Amen. But here's my big formal room. Take a good look at it. Now get out of it. Can you say? Go in here. Okay, we go in here. Okay, what is that room for? That's for you to look at and say, whoa, that's some fancy room right there. Dear Lord, look at those lamps. That is one pretty room. Let me get a picture of it before I leave. Preacher sitting there on Sunday? Oh, that's what it's for. Boy, I'm behind the times. That was for the preacher. Amen. I thought maybe the president was coming down. Yeah, in that room. Incredible, incredible. I don't want to be in there. I want to be where I can eat with my hands, enjoy the meal. They had us set up when I went over to Brother Sister Taylor's. They got this room with a fireplace. And they lit the fireplace. I tell you, I was feeling kind of romantic. But we were not alone. Amen. And they got his and her chairs, and they were going to let us sit in those chairs that are his and hers in front of a nice television there and a sound system and fireplace crackling. Wow. And it was really nice. And in the back room, I could hear. And you know, they got candles. It's just beautiful. And they got a beautiful home, by the way. And that little room where their formal room is, it's just a little room. Don't pay no attention to. Walk right through it to the good room. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just a little one. Y'all ain't got the big thing like that. So don't feel convicted this morning. Anyway, it's a beautiful. But we hear scratching on the door.
Whining.
And there's a pit bull saying, hey, this ain't right. I'm not supposed to be back here. I'm supposed to be out there getting my back rubbed. I'm supposed to be out there getting my head scratched. I'm supposed to be under the table, kind of smoozing around under the table, see if anybody might drop something down here. Amen. The dog wanted to come out and be part of the family, and they didn't know where to let this big, intimidating dog out. And we said, let him out. Let him out. We love dogs. We're dog people. Let him out. Then we really got comfortable, because just like home, here's this big dog coming. Yeah. Big head about that big. When I saw him, I thought, put him up, put him up, put him up. Let him out, put him up. But he was so sweet. He's so kind because they took him in and loved him. They took him in and loved him. He's running the neighborhood. Nobody wants him. They took him in and loved him. And love changed him. Can you say, man, he could have been, if he wanted to be mean, he could hurt you. And he could hurt you bad. But he don't want to be mean. However, I wouldn't want to walk in there at night trying to hurt these two people. Go in there and try to steal something out of their dresser. That dog, look up. Whoa. Hallelujah. Don't need no popo in that house, then. Don't need no 9mm neither. Got a pit bull named Chocolate with a head that big. Amen. They loved him. They loved him. And love changed his whole demeanor. He comes and wants to just lay down and let you rub him. Yeah. Love is the driving force of the gospel. Amen. Paul said, you want to know why I suffer what I suffer and keep going for Jesus with little or no regard for myself? The love of Christ constraineth, literally compels me. I am compelled by the love of Jesus Christ. He said, you know, when I'm taking those beatings, he said, I remember something. There is nothing. Nothing present, nothing coming. No angel, no principality, no circumstance in life. Life or death or demons or any other thing is able to separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, that love of God, where was it displayed? Where we could get it, where we could get a handle on it, we could begin to grasp it. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, amen, with the ability to call thousands of warrior angels. You know who he is to heaven's armies? He's the captain of the host of heaven, captain of the Lord's host. Can you say amen? Which literally means he's the commander in chief of heaven's armies. And that's what he told Peter. I could call armies of warrior angels. Destroy all of these people trying to hurt me. And destroy this ungrateful, sinful world. If my kingdom was of this world, if I was self-indulgent and self-seeking and self-exalting instead of selfless, nobody put me on no cross while they curse me. Nobody put me on no cross while they deny me, Peter. I don't suffer for ungrateful, sinful, stubborn, blasphemous people. Come get me, Father. Take me out of here. The plan is off. If Jesus bought into the message that's being preached to Christianity today, if you follow Jesus, it begins with self-denial. Yes, amen. Churches all over the country preaching self-indulgence. Christians are following the Lord for the wrong reason. And it doesn't mean that God won't bless you. I'm telling you, God has blessed me. Praise the Lord. He's taking good care of me. He's always given me a decent car to drive. Amen. I haven't had to have it pushed off too many times or jumped off. God's been good to me. He's given me clothes that are decent for church. Amen. I don't feel like I have to show you the label on the inside. I don't even know what the label is here. Amen. It's got a label. Amen. It says, Issimo. Made in Italy. That makes sense, doesn't it? Issimo. It's a nice coat. Yeah. It fits me well. Amen.
You can tell
them. I can tell them? I'm not going to tell them. Just... don't break the illusion. Amen. Man, I find some coats look like they tailor-made for this preacher right here. Somebody died. Somebody got a coat to go to the funeral, hung it up in the closet, decided to get rid of it because nobody hadn't died in a couple of years. And give me a $300 coat for $7.57. And say, don't you put that in that bag. I'm hanging that in my car. Hallelujah. Listen, this church has been so good to me. One time they got me a gift certificate to Men's Warehouse. I've not been, God has always provided or somebody give. One time I got a suit that was in a paper bag left on my front porch. that somebody got for me and put it in a paper bag and left on my front porch when I first started pastoring. Opened it up, fit me to a T. I can't hardly fit myself to a T, let alone somebody that don't know my size fit me. But it fit me because God wanted me to have it, and God provided. I went out and opened up a paper bag, and there's a suit in it. Amen. I put that suit on, and it fit me to a T. Glory to God. And then somebody went out and bought me a suit one time. I still got that. That was 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 30 years ago. I got a suit that's 30 years old. Amen. And one of these days, I might get down to where I can wear it again after a 40-day fast. Can you say? If I ever fast for 40 days, I'm saving that suit. And if I ever come in here and say, this is that suit I was telling you about, you know I'm a hungry man. I've just come off a 40-day fast. I'm going to preach. I'm going to get you out at 12 so we can go to the Golden Corral and be first in line. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. God has always provided. But I went in Men's Warehouse and I'm looking around in there and I'm seeing, here's a coat. For $450 or $500. And I'm thinking, dear Lord in heaven, what in the world? I mean, I have to wear the tag on the outside like Minnie Pearl did her hat. Can you say amen? Come on, because if I pay $500 for a coat, I want you to know that sucker cost $500. Can you say amen? That was a sacrifice. Amen. Look at this thing. I leave the label on it purposely. Amen. What? We get crazy. We get crazy. Listen, you put the kingdom of God first. You love Jesus with all your heart. Amen. You get that attitude of take this whole world if it comes to it and give me Jesus. Believe me, he won't leave you without. He will take good care of you. You love Jesus with all of your heart, but he gave you a nice home, didn't he? Made a way for you to get it. Worked supernaturally because you were not in it to get the home. You were in it to serve him. Amen. And if you're in it to serve him, he's going to take care of all the other things we need and even some things that we don't really need, but he just grants them to us because he's a good and loving God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've told this story before. We're almost done. I'll tell it one more time. But about Monday morning, the worship service is over. The church stuff is over. Monday morning, everything's back to normal. And here's a guy going to work on Monday morning saying, Lord, I love you. I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. I just appreciate you so much. I just want to praise you, Lord, and give you honor and glory today for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I love you and I thank you. And suddenly all of heaven stops because on Sunday, they're used to it up there. But on Monday, for it still to be happening, is an unusual event. And all the angels are standing there to get their instructions concerning the people they're caring for and to report to God and in this story. And God looks at all those angels and he said, who does he belong to? And there's an angel there with his chest out saying, he's mine. And the Lord says, well, what does he want? Because see, the Lord's used to that when we're really in a tight place. Or we really want him to give us that house. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. I thank you. Or we're in trouble. Oh, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll be in church every Sunday. I'll give. I'll serve you. I'll love you. Amen. He's used to hearing that. He said, what does he want? Angel says, Lord, he don't want nothing. He just loves you so much for what you've already done for him. Wow. And then the Lord says to the angel, well, tell me, angel, what does he need? I like that. In other words, what can I do to bless him? Amen? Because he's loving me for me. He's serving me for me. Amen? It's not what I can do for him. It's what I've done for him. And he's got a handle on that. Hallelujah. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. The true riches. People come in here. One guy come in here, and he was driving a Cadillac. It wasn't an Escalade, but it was close to it. And I was preaching that morning on people in it to get an Escalade. And first thing we walked out the door, he said, I know that car ain't what it's all about. I said, yeah, but it's a good car. You don't have to be ashamed of driving it as long as Jesus is first. Amen. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, boy, if you're driving a nice automobile, then you ain't much of a Christian. No, I'm saying as long as Jesus is first, you can drive an Escalade. You can drive whatever you want to drive. As long as Jesus is first. And as long as you can keep that big grin on your face. I started saying you go, but I think they're out of... I haven't seen one of them in years. Can you say, man? Remember the little Nash Rambler? Anybody remember?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my little Nash Rambler. My horn goes beep, beep, beep. He says, what? Oh, young school, young blood back there. He thinks I'm from another planet. We are on different planets. He's on planet youth, and I'm on planet you know. Can you say, man? Listen, God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Let me finish this so we can get done here. Listen to it carefully. Psalm 50. God's going to talk to his people. It's a psalm of Asaph. God gets real strong. Listen. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. In other words, God has an issue he wants to talk to us about. He says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. This is directed not to the inhabitants of the earth in general, but specifically to the covenant people. Everybody say the covenant people. The covenant people. That's you and me. Let me hurry. What is this? What is this that God is so concerned about? He said, gather my saints together. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. This was in the old covenant when the sacrificial system was in place. And they were coming before him when they sinned and they brought the sacrifices. They brought the appropriate God-prescribed sacrifices. You go into church service, the preacher's going to preach. It's expected. The choir's going to sing. The praise team's going to be enthusiastic. Whether they feel like it or love God or not, they're going to be enthusiastic because it's their J-O-B. Can you say amen? You know, I don't just watch praise teams at revivals and stuff like that. I watch that where all those pastors sit. The ones that's trying to get people to respond to them on Sunday morning. I want to see what they're doing during the worship service. Because during worship, they're not supposed to be thinking about what they're going to say or how they're going to be received. Amen. Or the message. They're supposed to be thinking about him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I'd like to see some pastors love on the Lord. And sometimes I do, but a lot of times I don't. When I don't, I'm terribly disappointed. Because we're not exempt from worship. And being grateful that God saved our sorry hide. Can you say amen? In fact, we ought to be leading it like David. Whose glasses have I got? Yours?
You brought mine.
Sandy's, okay. Just wanted to check. Listen to what he says. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah, hear, O my people. I will speak, O Israel. I'll testify against thee. I'm thy God. Where does judgment begin? House of God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. Why didn't he reprove them for that? Because he prescribed that.
Yes.
Can you say amen? And they were following prescribed worship.
Yes.
Amen. In the old covenant. But he said, I'm not going to receive what you're offering me, even though it's according to prescription. I will take no bullock out of thy house, no he-goats out of thy folds. That means you're offering sacrifice if God isn't receiving it. Just because you're doing it doesn't mean that God has to accept it. That means we can't worship our way. We can't just do what we think he wants without our heart being involved in it. He said, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. In other words, God said, I don't need your worship. You need to worship me.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? Listen, God is self-existent. Amen. Before he ever created man, he was doing just fine.
Yeah.
Listen, 10 billion angels are worshiping in heaven right now. Myriads and myriads, innumerable angels are worshiping him in his very presence. But we desperately need to worship him. He wanted them to know, you're not doing me a favor when you praise me. You're giving the honor that is due me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody give him praise. Oh, God ought to bless me because I really praised him. Somebody was mean to me this week, but I offered him the sacrifice of praise. I praised him with my old broken heart. No, you didn't offer him nothing of any value because you're still thinking about you and your old broken heart. Get over it. Think about what God's done for you, not what they did to you. Praise God, and the devil can't steal your song. Can you say amen? If I stopped because people was ugly to me, I'd have quit before I got started. My first sermon, it would have been over with. Not saying it don't hurt. I'm saying that there's a healing balm. And it's when I focus on him. Let's get this done. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Now here's what he wants. Verse 14. This is what qualifies or disqualifies worship here today. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
He wants gratitude. He wants us to reciprocate love to him that loved us so much. He wants us to enter his gates with an thanksgiving before we even attempt to go into his courts with praise. Can you say amen? Because that's what qualifies or disqualifies the sacrifices that we're offering. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's where the true gratitude is in the heart. You know, if true gratitude is in the heart, remember when 10 lepers got healed? God was so merciful. He said, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest that you're healed. And they wasn't even healed yet. But as they went, because you had to get the priest to qualify you to get back into the public arena. You couldn't interact with people socially as long as you had leprosy. And as they went, they were healed. 9 of them, after they got what they wanted from the Lord, just took off to their families, their friends, their vocations. Never looked back. Never looked back. But one of them came back. Knelt before the Lord and thanked him. And Jesus said, we're not there 10 healed. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Does God notice these things? He notices so much that when you sing a song in here, he's going to look past your lips, your words,
yes,
the tempo and the tone of the song, and he's going to look right in your heart.
Amen.
And he's going to see, are you really still grateful to me for what I've done for you? And if thanksgiving isn't there, he says, all these sacrifices are unacceptable. Amen? That's why we got to get back to the heart of worship. We've got to get our gratitude back. That says Jesus is more important than my job, more important than my projects. Can you say amen? Come on. If he's not more important than that, then don't talk love in here. Amen? We were talking about the Bible being on. We got these newfangled gadgets now. We got cell phones that connect you to the internet. You can read your email. You can watch the news. You can download from YouTube. And there are people that instead of, see, it keeps going. We got to have the new technology. We can't give to God. We couldn't possibly sacrifice the newest technological thing. Amen? And I don't know, but I think you got to pay a pretty good monthly payment for all that technology. Amen? Amen? But we can't give to God. And we're going to sing praises to a God that isn't even worth something that we don't even really need, but we just want. And so, what does God end up with? He ends up with our leftovers. But He don't want your leftovers. He doesn't deserve what's left for what He did at Calvary. Honor the Lord how? The first fruits of all of your increase. And He says, is it going to detract from you? No. He said, if you do that, then your barns will be filled with fatness. Amen. I'll bless you. And I'll have your heart to boot. Can't afford. What a sacrifice it would be to give up an iPod to give to God's work. Oh, yeah, that's really. I'm suffering for Jesus. I have to wait till I get home and use my laptop. I can't sit here on lunch and watch Oprah. Oh, boy, serving Jesus gets tough. Isn't it tough to serve the Lord? I'm preaching plain today. I'm telling you, Jesus said, if you're not grateful enough to do what you do out of deep gratitude, what you do don't mean anything to me. Can you say amen? What is He looking for? He's looking for somebody that says, I'm going to love Him back for loving me this much. Amen? Energy for everything else. Time for everything else. Money for everything else. But God, whom we profess to love wholly and totally, gets the leftovers. And it just, well, can I be honest? I'm being pretty honest, all right. It's hypocrisy. Plain and simple. It's hypocritical. I got a 2008 Buick out there. If I have to work every Sunday where I can't fulfill my ministry to drive that Buick, I'll drive my pickup truck. And God knows it. I've driven whatever the Lord's allowed me to have. And I could have had better. I could live in Walden Lake. I could live there. I don't have to live in my little 1,250 square feet, 1953 house. Pamela's made it beautiful. But I don't have to live there. I can live somewhere else. I can go back to work right now. And I can live in a nicer house and drive a nicer vehicle. Of course, there'll be a lot of Sundays I say, you know, I can't make it. I got to take care of my business. Amen? You say, well, your sacrifice, the church didn't grow. Yeah, but the ministry did. The ministry did. God opened doors for the ministry to the four corners of the earth. We got a little bitty map at home. It's just a partial map and showing the nations. And over look like about half the nations of the world, the gospel out of here has already went to. Isn't that incredible what the Lord has done? Look what the... Why did He do that? Why did He honor us in this little setting to do something like that? Why is He sending people to our website to download sermons from Oslo, Norway? Can you say amen? Why is He doing that? Amen. He's doing that because He said, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One thing we can say, we're faithful to God's calling. We're faithful to God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm happy with what the Lord has given me. And I haven't had to compromise my faith. Hallelujah. And I'm still in love with Jesus. Glory to God. And He's worth it to serve Him. And someday He might just give me a whatever. But it won't make me any happier than I am this morning. Maybe a little more convenient, but no happier. There's a difference in being more convenient and happier. Can you say amen? Let me close with it very quickly. I'm not doing too bad under the circumstances. We started late. Verse 14 comes before verse 15. Say verse 14 comes before verse 15. offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Oh, by the way, right here, pay thy vows unto the Most High. Wow. Isn't that incredible? We don't want to get too deep in that. It's going to take a long time. Keep your commitments. Keep your promises to God when you were devoted. You made promises to Him when you were devoted. When He was first in your life, you made some commitments and promise. God took it seriously. He said, follow through. Don't be fickle. Amen? And what happens if God is first and we begin to really love Him and devote our life to Him for what He's done for us? He says, then something's going to happen between you and me when you have a need in your life. Something is going to happen when you have a need between you and me. The impotent church is not going to be impotent anymore. The impotent Christian is not going to be impotent anymore. Because the omnipotent God, hallelujah, is going to respond to us when we call upon His name. Woo! Somebody say glory. Had a little Jerry Lee Lewis flashback right there. Hallelujah. Amen. It's enough to make you want to holler when God starts coming through. When God delivers your son from alcohol. When God heals his defective liver. Hallelujah. Out of his mercy and grace. When God healed my dad. Amen. Of a cancer. An aggressive cancer in the prostate. And the doctor said it don't look like he's ever had cancer in the prostate. Can you say amen? When God comes through. Hallelujah. When God comes through. What's he say he will do? It's almost worth getting in trouble. Amen? It's worth the trouble to get an answer and have his name glorified. He says, you get this straight, you get this right, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. Amen? You know what God is saying? I am available to you, and you have unreserved access to me. So when the trouble comes, call on me, and I will deliver you. Hallelujah. I like the way God talks. Oh, I've heard of mince words. I've heard of mess with it. I've heard them with PhDs trying to play it down and preach it away. But God don't talk that way. Can you say amen? God don't talk like they talk on the History Channel. Amen. He talks in absolutes. Amen. You get this right, he says, church. You get this right, covenant people. And then offer your sacrifices. And then call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And when God starts coming through, the world recognizes something. And thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, when God shows up, he gets the glory for what he does. And we start seeing the stuff. We start experiencing the stuff. Can you say, man, will you stand to your feet? How many want to see and experience the stuff? Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 God's work can't be on the back burner. God's not going to bless hypocrisy. I'm watching people playing that game with God. They can't get ahead if they make a little. They can't get ahead if they make a lot. God said, not only am I not going to bless you, he said, I'm going to see to it that you don't prosper. You're going to put your money into bags with holes because you're dwelling in your sealed houses. And my house is undone. Can you say amen? I'll tell you something. I don't want to preach to people who don't love God enough to support His ministry or His work and want to talk love for God. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life is to talk love and put God down at the bottom of the list of what's important in your life. That's hypocrisy. It demands repentance. Can you say amen? You can't treat God that way and ask prayer for healing, prayer for deliverance. He said, if this isn't right, deliverance isn't coming. But if you get this right, deliverance is on the way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to pray for people that God can't legitimately bless or deliver. I want to pray for people that are postured for deliverance. So when we mix our faith with God's promises, we're going to see God move. Hallelujah. And our tests are going to turn to testimonies. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is tough preaching, but I want to see this happen. I don't want to just pray that professional pastoral prayer, knowing what I know in the Word of God. I want to get people postured to receive. Get them in the place that God can and will legitimately come through. Can you say amen? When you need a miracle, amen, that we will not be impotent. We will have the omnipotent God. Because when He started this whole thing with Israel, oh, by the way, let me get the last verse. Thank you for being gracious. Let me get it. Amen. We started late because of fellowship. I'm getting my time back. Listen. Verse 23, the last verse of Psalm 15. You know what the Psalm's about now. It said, whoso offereth praise, that's from that heart of gratitude. It's already been qualified, hadn't it? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that orders his conversation or behavior aright, I will show him the salvation of God. Amen. Salvation in the old covenant is not getting your sins forgiven. Amen? No. That's why David, when he prayed the prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, amen, you know what he said? He said, restore unto me something that's been lost through compromise. Restore unto me the joy of what? Thy salvation. Again, this is not saving. Can you say amen like the new covenant? Salvation in the old covenant is and always will be when God comes through to deliver His people. Can you amen? When God delivers again. When God shows up again. When God answers prayer again. When God destroys an army that's threatening Israel again. Can you say amen? When God sends an angel and 185,000 troops wake up dead. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Oh yeah, they woke up somewhere, but they were dead when they woke up and they wasn't here no more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God came through. Amen. He said, you get this right, and I'll show you the deliverance of God again. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Praise God. And call on me in the day of trouble. Well, say it with me. God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. And call upon me. And I will answer thee. That's when they're right with Him. Come on. And show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's not a revelation for the mind or the spirit. That's God delivering His people again. He said, you have no idea how far I'm willing to go to keep my covenant with you and keep you safe from your enemy. You have no idea what I'm capable of doing in your behalf. So call on me. Hallelujah. Set me loose to work for you. Hallelujah. In your behalf. Praise God. And I will answer you. And I'll show you something you ain't never seen before. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eyes not seen. Ear has not heard. It's never even entered the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit that manifests His presence and His power. Can you say amen. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody give Him praise. That's not about funerals in heaven. That's about God showing up here and now. It's not about the New Jerusalem. It's about God showing up in the church of Jesus Christ. I'm preparing you for my miracles, saith God. I'm preparing you for my spirit and my visitation. I'm preparing you for answered prayer. I'm preparing you for a testimony. Amen. I mean, if we're going to be like that church that just goes through the motions, we might want to go join them. Just go watch the program. There's no hope of it changing. If the church is satisfied to go out of church like we came in, sing about a great God and go out with the same needs, no answer prayer, no breakthrough, no devotion to Jesus, nobody lost in the Spirit praising Him because we're singing to them. None of them praising Him because they're being entertained. Amen. I don't call that church. God doesn't call it worship. He says, you're going to have to offer me something from a heart that's aflame with love and devotion. And the day you do, all the rest of that stuff will fall into place because nothing and no one will be before me. And when the kingdom is first, your Father knows what you have need of already, and He will make it His personal business to see to it that your needs are met. Can you say amen? Just get it right. Put Him back on top shelf again. Hallelujah. Make a throne in your heart for Him and don't let nobody else, including yourself, sit on it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've got a song to quit with. How about something sweet to quit off on? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's the Lion of Judah. Praise God. Will you sing it with us today? Just some of it. Praise the Lord. Have you got anything out of this service today? You want a church like that? Hallelujah. God wants it more than we want it. But He said He's preparing us for miracles. He's preparing us for the supernatural. Amen. Every time a prayer is truly answered, visibly and viably, God has supernaturally moved in your behalf. I'm expecting great things this coming year. Praise the Lord. Let's lift Him up in praise. We love you today. Bring it right.